Dimension Films. A Dimension Films release. Mustafa Akkad presents. A Nightfall production of a Rick Rosenthal film. Busta Rhymes. Bianca Kajlej. Thomas Ian Nicholas. Ryan Merriman. Daisy McCracken, Katie Satchoff. Billy Kay, Luke Kirby. Special appearance by Sean Patrick Thomas, with Tyra Banks and Jamie Lee Curtis. Casting by Ross Brown and Mary West. Costume designer Brad Goff. Music supervisor Jen Miller. Halloween theme by John Carpenter. Music by Danny Lux. Production designer Troy Hansen. Director of photography David Geddes. Travelling along a dank, eerie tunnel lit by pale wall lights.
You've heard of the tunnel. The one we all go through sooner or later. At the end, there's a door. And waiting for you on the other side of that door is either heaven or hell.
Based on the characters created by Deborah Hill and John Carpenter.
This is that door.
Traveling through a window in the door into a bedroom in an institution. A rag doll is resting on a pillow on the bed, and sitting by the window is a woman in her 30s with mousy hair, her expression pale and catatonic, staring at nothing. Closing in on her blank features, registering no expression whatsoever. The imposing, historic institution building at dusk, lights come on in one of the floors inside. A sign outside reads Grace Anderson Sanatorium. Two nurses dressed in white are making their way along a corridor.
Why is this patient in lockdown?
They didn't tell you about Laurie Strode?
No.
You must have heard of her. Sister of Michael Myers.
Michael Myers, the serial killer?
Oh, well, you'll hear all the gossip soon enough. For now, let's just get...
No, wait. Tell me about her.
She decapitated a man.
A flashback to her doing so with an axe.
Oh, my God. Why?
Halloween. 3 years ago. 20 years after the first murders, her brother finally found her. Tracked her down to the school where she was working. There were several murders. Lots of confusion.
A paramedic discovers a body, then a hand reaches out and strangles him. A man in paramedic uniform holding a long-bladed knife watches an ambulance van drive off. A uniformed man crouches down to remove a white mask from a severed head. He slowly prizes the face mask off.
Oh my God, she killed the wrong person.
The mask is removed to reveal the face of a man with a moustache.
Father of three.
Well, why didn't the paramedic say something?
The paramedic being strangled to death.
His larynx had been crushed. Don't let on, you know.
She opens the door to Laurie's room, where she's sitting, silent and catatonic.
Hello, Miss Strode. Did you enjoy your dinner?
She hasn't said a word in years. Extreme dissociative disorder. The doctors think she's a suicide threat. They found her up on the roof more than once.
Must be the guild.
Now all she does is stare out that window. God knows what she sees out there.
After pushing pills into her mouth, the two nurses leave. As soon as the door's closed, Laurie's instantly alert and spits the pills into her palm. She tucks them inside the rag doll she was clutching to her chest, revealing the inside of it stuffed full of identical capsules. Laurie rises to her feet and stares out of the window. Outside in the darkness is the barest glimpse of a shadowy figure with a white face. Laurie stares at him, then he's gone, as if he was never there. Outside the sanatorium at night, a guard patrols with a torch. It's a dank, misty night, and the man discovers the chain-link security gate open. Curious, he inspects the padlock hanging open on the chain. He walks through the open gate into the woodland beyond.
Hello?
Someone's watching him.
Anyone out there?
Seeing no one, he lowers his torch, then fishes out a cigarette from his jacket pocket and proceeds to light it. Someone wearing a clown's mask sneaks up behind him, giving him the fright of his life.
Holy shit! Harold, are you trying to give me a heart attack? How the hell did you get out again? And who are you supposed to be today?
John Wayne Gacy. Born in Chicago, Illinois, on March 17th, 1942. Killed 33 people. Buried them under his house.
I know.
He's executed on May 7th.
The shadowy figure's watching them walk off.
Willie, I'm not trying to criticize your work, but if you put Harold in his room, how come I see him in the basement?
But just 2 seconds ago, he was...
Come on, let's go get him. How many times do I have to tell you? You gotta be sure what you're doing.
On one of the bank of security monitors, a man makes his way along a corridor. The two guards are now in the same corridor, passing two vending machines. Willie pauses to gaze at the sweets and crisps.
Willie, what are you doing?
I skipped dinner.
Hurry up.
Okay.
Willie feeds in some coins.
Harold. Harold, what are you doing down here? What's gotten into you?
Willie breaks off from snacking and goes to his colleague's aid, but there's no sign of him in the gloomy corridor, just a swinging ceiling light. Willie proceeds cautiously forward, shining his torch. He's in a darkened laundry room, where one of the dryers has clothes tumbling inside it. The ceiling light's still swinging, casting an uneven glow on the large tumble dryer, as Willie approaches it. Something's thumping inside it, although the window only reveals sheets revolving around. Willie reaches for the dial to turn it off. He opens the door and peers cautiously inside it, raising his torch to illuminate the interior. Behind him, Michael Myers, a tall, intimidating figure in dark overalls wearing a pale face mask, lowers himself down from above just as Willie discovers a dead man's face inside the dryer. Willie recoils and trips backwards over his colleague's headless torso. Michael grabs him from behind by the hair and slices his throat. Willie slumps to the floor, his lifeless eyes staring. Michael's shadow walks off. Harold's pacing in his room.
Ted Bundy, born November 24th, 19.
He pauses at the sight of a figure moving along the corridor past the window of his room. He walks up to the panes of glass and watches. Then he pulls the clown mask down over his face. Making his way along the corridor, Michael's holding the carving knife at his side. He approaches the door of Laurie's room. She's lying in bed as he hammers on it, then bursts straight through, shattering it as he steps inside. He approaches the bed, drawing his knife, but the shape lying under the covers isn't Laurie. She's behind him and lashes out with a standard lamp, bringing it crashing down over his head before fleeing. She dashes off and around a corner with Michael following, taking calm, brisk steps. Panic-stricken, Laurie opens a door in the corridor and hurries into a stairwell. Now she's running upstairs. Now Michael's at the door and making his way upstairs after her. When he arrives on the roof, there's no sign of her. He sees a hospital gown slung over a ledge and walks towards it. Once he's reached it, a door bursts open behind him to reveal Laurie. Michael spins round.
Hello, Michael.
She presses the button on a control box and a rope snares around Michael's foot and winches him into the air, hanging upside down. Michael flails around, slashing his knife wildly as he's hauled upwards, eventually dropping it. Laurie stops the mechanism, leaving him hanging upside down over the roof.
I knew you'd come for me sooner or later. What took you so long?
Michael doesn't respond. Laurie reaches down to pick up the knife. The sharp point of the blade still has blood stains.
You failed, Michael. You want to know why? Because I'm not afraid of you. But what about you? Are you afraid of me? Are you afraid to die, Michael?
She steps away from him and begins soaring through the rope, which is holding Michael in the air. He suddenly puts both hands to his head as if holding his mask in place. Laurie turns to look at him and has a flashback to horrific events in the past, including the unmasking of the man with the moustache. She makes her way slowly and cautiously towards him. She reaches out a hand towards his chin, preparing to grasp the underside of the mask and pull it off. Trying to stand back as far away as possible, she reaches out to remove it. As she's about to pull the mask away, Michael suddenly grabs her wrist. He lifts her off the ground and their combined weight causes the severed rope to fray and snap. They both fall, but Michael grabs the edge of the roof with one hand and the knife with the other, plunging it into Laurie's back. He's holding her in a death grip, and she reaches behind her to try to pull the knife out, but to no avail. She leans towards him and kisses him.
I'll see you in hell.
Michael releases her, and in slow motion, she plummets to the ground far below. Michael's still holding the knife as he prepares to climb back up onto the roof. Now, Harold's in his room, sitting at his desk, writing, still wearing the clown mask, when Michael opens the door and steps inside. Harold looks up from what he's doing, and Michael offers the knife to him, and he takes it from him by the handle. He inspects the knife, then pulls up his clown mask.
My
Michael Myers. Born October 19th, 1957. Killed his older sister October 31st, 1963. Killed three high school students October 31st, 1978. Also killed three nurses and a paramedic same night. Was believed to be dead, then killed four students. Hillcrest Academy, 1998. Has been missing. Unheard of last 3 years. Now he's back.
Having left Harold with the knife, Michael's now making his way along the dark tunnel. He disappears down it, his pace measured and purposeful. Halloween, Resurrection, daytime, Haddonfield University, in the lecture theater.
Carl Jung tells us that the human psyche contains a figment of ourselves that even the collective unconscious denies. Good morning, Paul. It's nice to see you in class. Am I keeping you up? All right. What do I mean by all this, people? I mean that inside all of us, there lurks a dark, malevolent figure, a kind of boogeyman, if you will, that Jung called what? Come on, stick with me, people. Take that Kierkegaardian leap of faith. Jung said we must face down our fears and face up to the figure he called what?
The shadow.
Shadow. Yes, Sarah, very good. Thank you. I'm glad somebody was awake. Wow, what a class.
Outside.
Hey, Sarah! Sarah, wait up! I've been looking for you everywhere. Guess what?
What'd you sign us up for this time?
We gotta find Rudy, okay? Come on.
Sarah, a dark-haired student, follows after Jen, her blonde friend. In the cafeteria kitchen, a young black man's busy chopping vegetables when the two girls enter.
Hey, Rudy.
Don't distract me.
Oh, I can't help myself. I am distracting. Have you checked your email?
No. Why, did you send me something?
We're in. They picked all three of us.
What? Are you serious?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. It's all good. Now, this isn't one of your little jokes, is it?
No, but Sarah doesn't want to go.
I'm not going. I just haven't decided yet.
No. That is unacceptable. It is unacceptable. We're going to be bigger than the Osbournes. We're going to be large.
Look, every time I let you two talk me into something, I live to regret it.
Listen, without me, you would die of boredom.
Us. Without us, you would die of boredom.
Whatever.
In Sarah's room.
Are you sure they're not just putting us in some house with hidden cameras in the shower?
No. It's like we're investigative reporters searching a crime scene. And look at the scholarship.
Yeah.
Besides that, thousands of people are gonna see my fate. Our face.
Don't do it. That's the house where it all started. He walked its hallways, hid in its closets, dreamed in its bedrooms, helped his mother in the kitchen, watched TV in the living room with his dad, played in his sister's bedroom. Then one day, he picked up a knife, and he never put it down again.
Jen shuts the lad out of the room.
That guy's fucking weird. Don't pay any attention to him. He's just trying to scare us.
I just need to send a quick email.
In a bedroom, two lads are reading the message Sarah sent.
Deckard, you'll never believe what I got myself into. Deckard? Who's Deckard?
Oh, it's my screen name. Sarah needs some tech support setting up her offline reader. So
you told her you're a graduate student? Graduate of what, junior high?
Look, shut up, all right? We talk like every day. I don't know. It's kind of like we're dating.
She's never even seen you. And Yahoo chat rooms do not count.
Yes, they do count. Did you know in the old days, knights used to spend their entire lives courting ladies that they would never even touch? They would just, like, you know, send each other sonnets and stuff.
Yeah, that's before internet porn, man.
Well, whatever.
Now what are you doing?
Look, just give me a second, all right?
At dusk, Sarah's riding her scooter into the entrance of a motel. Jen hurries up to greet her as she enters a room where people are milling around chatting.
Okay, everybody listen up.
Sarah, are you going to wear this? Because I thought I told you that we were going to be on camera.
Okay, I'd like to start this off by saying the search is over. You six have been selected to explore America's worst nightmare. Tomorrow night, Halloween, live in front of the whole entire internet universe, you six will enter the birthplace of evil in its purest form, the childhood home of our most brutal mass murderer, Michael Myers.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what do you hope to find in the house tomorrow night?
My way into network broadcasting?
I just want to say that Michael Myers is not just a man behind a mask. He's a legend.
I'm interested in how Michael Myers embodies the politics of violence embedded in pop mythology.
Never underestimate the effect of a poor diet. Too much protein, not enough zinc. Next thing you know, you're cutting up bodies in your bathtub. I mean, look at Hitler. He was a vegetarian. The brother was seriously malnourished.
You don't have to go far to find Michael Myers. He's the great white shark of our unconscious. He is the dark-eyed child of our spirits. He's every murderous impulse we've ever had. He's the little voice that whispers to us to strangle the old lady taking too long at the checkout counter. Get to know him, baby. He's you.
So tell us, Sarah, why do ordinary people turn to murder?
Well, I think it has something to do with...
A photographer knocks over a lighting lamp.
Hey, that girl can sing.
That's what I'm looking for.
Later, in his motel room, Freddy, a black man of around 30, is watching TV.
Get his ass! Who's better than Wap Chun Lee? Come on, whooping everybody's ass while he's smoking a cigarette. Oh, shit! Who's knocking on my door this late? Whoever this is distracting me from seeing Wap Chun Lee whoop some ass. Sam? Ooh. Sam, what are you doing here? It's late.
I'm dropping out.
What?
I'm sorry. It's just I'm so freaked out, I can't even sleep.
Slow down. What's the problem?
I mean, can't you see? I'm not like the others.
I know you're not like the others. You know you're not like the others. The others ain't nothing but a bunch of smart-ass, wise-cracking, posing wannabes. You are the real deal. Every existing element about you is what the internet audience really wants.
I don't want to be famous.
What do you mean you don't want to be famous? That's the American dream.
I think I'm just scared.
It's okay to be scared, you know. Being scared is good. Fear is good. Fear motivates. Fear gives you the feeling of being alive.
Fear makes me want to throw up.
Trust me, please. When it's all said and done, at the end of the day, you'd be surprised at how much you surprise yourself.
Look, I'm sorry to bother you. It's
okay. Just do me a favor. Sleep on it. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Don't even sweat it tonight, man. Take your tail on out of here and go to bed. Oh, Freddy boy. Damn, you good. Shit you come up with off the top of your head, boy. Why don't you just pat yourself on the back? Oh, Rock Chun-Li. Oh.
A bustling high street. A farm truck passes by laden with pumpkins. In a vintage clothing store, Sarah's wearing a skin-tight top.
Are you coming out soon, or are you planning on subletting?
Sexy girl.
Don't you think it's a bit too revealing?
I think it's perfectly revealing.
Michael appears in the mirror's reflection.
What?
Are you okay?
Did you see the boogeyman or something?
The boogeyman? How very Jungian.
Dr. Mixter's class? I'm taking that course too.
In his bedroom, Deckard, real name Miles, is looking at Sarah on the TV show website.
There she is.
Oh my god, you've been pussy whipped. What's worse, you've been cyber whipped. By the way, where's your costume?
Oh, I can't go out tonight. I promised Sarah I would watch her first episode. She's really nervous about it.
No. No, Mickey Stern's party is tonight, and you know that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, man, I guess I forgot it.
Forgot? Do you have any idea what it means for two freshmen to get invited? It's like never happened before.
Your sister invited us so you wouldn't tell your mother about her tattoo.
Okay, that's besides the point, Miles Barton. You can either sit here in your little dream fantasy world, or you can come with me to this party and learn to walk like a man. It's gonna be.
All right, let's go.
Chat room romance?
He's just a friend.
He's probably 50 and bald with a bad toupee.
Jen.
He probably collects human skin.
Give me a break, Jen.
Okay, everybody, listen up. Now, I'd like to start off by saying the home that you will be entering tonight has been rigged up with several cameras, but for the most part, the audience will see only what you see. See these cameras right here? I kind of like these cameras. They can pretty much be clipped onto anything. You know, hat, your shirt collar, your coat collar. The viewers can pretty much control what they want to watch. Switch around from camera to camera, depending on what seems to be the most intriguing to them. So if you guys want to be stars for the night, I suggest you do something that is very interesting so that it's worth the while of the viewers to want to keep their cameras on you.
Cameras are so phallic.
Is that good or bad?
Depends who's watching.
At the Myers house, a dilapidated, overgrown ruin, the TV show's vans are parked outside and equipment's being unloaded. Wires are plugged into a generator outside. One of the crew, a young, dark-skinned woman, sitting at a bank of camera monitors.
Hey, Orson Welles, pick a placement and move on.
Look, low angles, scary. High angles, scary. Medium angles, boring.
I bet you learned that shooting all those weddings and bar mitzvahs.
Hey, I went to Long Beach State, same as Spielberg.
Oh, Charlie, we're on a schedule here, okay? Just tell Max to rig a camera in the sister's room, all right?
Max is back at the hotel helping Freddie.
Okay.
She puts down the walkie-talkie with a smile, then gets to her feet and starts boogieing around the room to the music. She dances her way to the coffee machine. Meanwhile, Charlie's crouched at the foot of the stairs, busy at something, when someone holding a camera sneaks up on him. He rises to his feet to face the person. Meanwhile, in the monitor room, the young woman's oblivious as she makes her coffee. The man's approaching Charlie, pointing the sharp tip of the camera tripod leg at him. He backs away as the man approaches, eventually backing into a wall, trapped. The woman continues to make her coffee, oblivious as Charlie's impaled on the tripod leg, skewered through his neck. The man pulls the tripod back out of Charlie's neck. It's Michael. Charlie slumps to the floor, hands to his neck. The woman still boogieing around, holding her coffee, oblivious to the monitor screen which showed the attack. Michael's now dragging Charlie's body away by the ankle. Meanwhile, in the monitor room, the woman makes a call.
Freddie!
I mean, calm down, it's all good, just relax. I got it all under control.
No, there was this Firebird parked right in front of the house, like, just totally about to ruin the establishing shot. But I called a tow truck. Yep.
She looks at the monitor just as Charlie's removed.
Look at you, Charlie. That's a nice angle, boy.
Outside, photographers are waiting as Freddie and the others pull up and get out of their people carrier.
Hey, Gary.
here. Yeah.
I got one word for you, Freddy.
What's that?
Product placement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Product placement.
Well, I like the sound.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's such
I mean,
a bad idea.
While we're going around the house discovering the secrets of Michael Myers, we could be drinking Pepsi or smoking Gap.
Sarah's the last to follow the group and pauses to look at the derelict house with apprehension.
How's everyone doing this evening? We're going to get it started like this, see? In the next 10 minutes, we are going to enter a mystery wrapped up inside of a riddle, inside of an enigma. Now, remember this. Everything you see, absolutely everything you see, is real. There's no actors. None of the components or contents in the house have been messed with, mixed up, diluted, or tampered with in any shape, form, or fashion whatsoever. I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen, but what I do know is that no one will be allowed to leave until the show is over. Our top-of-the-line, state-of-the-art camera surveillance system will be picking up anyone who tries to sneak out.
The group of youngsters are strapping on their camera kit.
Let the dangertainment begin out of this.
Well, people, let's do it.
Jerky camera footage of the group now walking into the house. They enter in silence, taking in the living room, with its tired, dusty items of furniture still in place. The door slams behind them, causing them to jump.
Rudy!
Way to go. This is gonna be fun.
Jen enters the gloomy living room. Monitor screens show the footage from the tiny cameras the group are wearing.
Looks like nothing's been touched in years. I read that after the murders, the family just sealed it up and left without taking anything with them.
Well, it's not exactly a house you put on the market.
Yeah, but I'll bet it has one of those big, nice, old kitchens, you know?
Where are you going?
I'm gonna check it out.
What are we gonna do?
You don't have to do anything. Technically, we just have to be in the house.
Aren't we supposed to be looking for answers?
All right. The devil made him do it. I'm done.
We owe it to the people watching to at least take a look around.
Oh, that's cute. You're already worried about your fan base?
You are like this close to getting voted off the island.
Sarah tries a light switch, but it's not working.
Hey, check this out. You want something tasty and delicious? You can taste a 40-year-old fennel?
I don't. It's gotta be rotten.
That's strange.
What?
It smells fresh.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know, Donna, you got great legs. What time do they open?
That'd be 1 o'clock.
Rudy takes a huge carving knife out of a kitchen drawer.
Sarah. You think this is the one that he used to, you know, do his thing?
No, they'd keep that in an evidence locker somewhere.
He tosses the knife back in the drawer and pushes it shut. One of the lads grabs Jen from behind.
What, are you scared?
No. It's in here.
She finds a high chair in a cupboard.
What is that?
Okay, so I admit that this place is a little creepy, okay?
No. You have no idea. Look at this.
Wow, a chair.
My God, do you think they actually kept him in this? What is that?
Looks like the medieval key to Sarah's chastity belt.
Rudy.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe we should poke around a bit. See what else we can find.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Why are you touching me? Don't. Go poke.
Jen's eyes rest on a clamp strapped to the high chair, which would seem to have been used to keep its occupant in place. Meanwhile, Michael's lurking somewhere nearby. breathing heavily. A lively house party, with all the occupants dressed in extravagant Halloween costumes. Miles and his friend Scott, dressed in black suits, ties, and dark shades, make their way through.
Hey, what's going on?
Scott, what are we doing here?
Hey, come on, man, be cool, all right? Relax, fun. Shit. Hey, Miles, you think anyone will know we're supposed to be from Pulp Fiction?
Scott casts an appraising eye over the guests, but Miles looks anxious and unsettled. He moves away from Scott and walks off through the revelers. Some of the partygoers are dancing while others are milling around chatting. Miles slips unnoticed into a study room. There's a desk and leather armchair facing a large monitor screen mounted on the wall. On the desk sits a keyboard and mouse to control it. Smiling to himself, Miles sits down in the chair. He grabs a remote and clicks on the monitor, then brings up the Dangertainment website. He clicks on Enter. In the road outside the Myers house, streetlights glow against the dark sky, and a band of trick-or-treaters scurry along the pavement. The youngsters are all in costume, and one holds a lit pumpkin as they hurry along. They run up the path to the front door of the house, leave the pumpkin on the doorstep, and then hurry off. Inside the house, one of the lads strikes a match and lights a candelabra, while the others are also lighting candles on the dining table to illuminate the living room gloom. Once all are lit, the living room is much brighter, and sitting at the study desk, Miles smiles as he watches the live footage. The screen is split into four squares, with each section showing a different camera feed. Miles clicks on the different feeds, which show the group inside the house from different angles. Some now exit the room, and Jen's leading the way upstairs, carrying a torch.
Shit!
Careful, Jen.
Hands off, bud.
After having stumbled, she continues on to the upstairs landing. The door to a room's ajar, and Bill, the lad with Jen, leads the way inside.
Bet this is Judith's room. You know, the older sister. The one he killed when he was 6 years old.
Hey, keep the camera on the money here.
You know, I think it happened when she was right there. Poor little Judith. Helpless, brushing her hair, young and naked.
Yeah, because that's gonna happen, right?
Come on, Jen. One flash and you could light up 1,000 computer screens. Launch your whole career.
A smile breaks out across Jen's face.
You think?
Bill watches, shining his torch on her as she pulls open her jacket. She's wearing a black top underneath and begins slowly lifting it up. In the shadows, Michael's watching. She continues pulling up her top, but stops when she reaches her bra and yanks it back down again.
You crack me up.
Bill looks fed up.
It's a good wardrobe for you, Jen.
Jen's sitting at the dressing table, busy fixing her hair in the mirror. Michael passes by behind her, and she turns at the sound of his footsteps, but sees nothing.
Wait, there's somebody else in the hall.
Miles' screen showing white noise. The woman in the monitor room sighs, presses a few buttons, and the screen springs back to life. A couple backs into the study, snogging, not realizing Miles is in there.
What are you doing, you big perv?
They're exploring the house of a mass murderer, live. You want to watch?
No way.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Impulse control disorder.
Huh?
That's my theory. I think Michael Myers had fits of rage that he could not control. Kind of like a klepto or a nympho or a pyro.
So, instead of stealing silverware, he slashes the necks of teenage girls, huh?
Oh, come on. Have you ever had an impulse that you just could not control?
Continuously.
You mean continually. Continuous means continuing uninterrupted, while continual means reoccurring periodically.
Donna, when are you going to get out of your head and start thinking with your body?
Does that line ever actually work on the chicks in the music department?
Art history, too. Sometimes even poli-sci.
Well, it doesn't cut it with critical studies.
Bummer.
Besides, screwing a music major would be tantamount to lesbianism.
I could get into that.
The shadow of Michael brandishing the knife. Rudy to Sarah.
Sarah, I'm telling you, it's in the food. Remember that guy who was on trial for murder in San Francisco? All he ate was Twinkies.
Rudy, do you ever think about anything other than food?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Jen?
Rudy and Sarah go dashing upstairs to find Jen.
Jen?
What's going on?
What happened?
I don't know. I turned my back for a second and she was gone.
Jen? Jen?
Rudy pushes open a door and peers inside.
Jen? Jen?
Jen?
He doesn't see Michael hiding in the shadows holding the knife.
Jen?
You know what? That's not right, okay? You're foul.
So foul.
Yeah, and this is to us for successfully leaguing a little more, putting together something collectively so ingenious as a team and a duo that we should definitely be able to secure a lot of food on the table for ourselves as long as everything goes as nicely as it's going right now.
Bill places a lamp beside a wall mirror, then talks to his reflection.
We're gonna get her back for that. Watch me.
Michael bursts out of the mirror and grabs him.
Cheers.
Michael's slashing at him with the knife, then lifts it high in the air and plunges it down into Bill's head.
Wait, what just happened? We just lost Bill's camera.
Oh, shit. He must have just dropped it. Fucking idiot. Find another view quickly,
oh,
please.
Freddy, relax. I think this is going really well.
Really, baby?
Yes. We are doing our thing.
Okay. To Dangertainment. Saloon.
And this must be the bed where he was conceived.
Stop showing off, Jen.
Rudy points the torch beam at Jen as if aiming a gun. Michael's silhouette passes nearby. Sarah opens a wardrobe and steps inside, shining her torch around at the clothes hanging up. As she looks through the clothes, flicking through them, Michael's white mask seems to lurch out at her. Rudy punches out the slatted doors of the wardrobe to free her. It was a mannequin wearing the mask. At the party, a blonde-haired lad enters the study.
Hey, is this that Michael Myers thing? Yeah.
All right, cool.
He sits down to watch. Miles clicks on one of the four sections and brings up a feed from the basement where one of the young women discovers a trap door.
What is this?
She bumps into the lad she's with as they both examine it.
Oh, sorry.
Are you?
You're such a Lothario.
I don't know what that means exactly, but,
Just go with it.
She goes to kiss him.
Hold on. I just thought of something.
Hold on?
You've got to be kidding me.
What are you, looking for Playboys?
Rudy's found a coloring book with female characters scribbled on harshly, their eyes crossed out.
This ain't right.
Well, it's obvious that the boy was subject to emotional and physical abuse.
No, I mean all of this is not right. It's too easy. Why is all this stuff still here?
Answer that, Nancy Drew.
Where's Bill?
He's probably still mad at me. He's gonna jump out of somewhere and try and scare me. You watch. You watch.
Meanwhile, in the basement, the lads found a heavy metal key. The young woman he's with is looking around with her torch and discovers a rag doll. As she inspects it, she's startled by the faintest of noises behind her.
Jim?
She casts her torch around, and at first there's no sign of him, but then he walks over.
Keeping it from something, just let me know.
Look.
He shows her the key, then crouches down to slide it into the slot on the trap door.
Voila.
Clever boy.
He lifts up the round trap door, similar to a manhole cover, and shines his lamp inside, revealing a metal ladder.
See, they're looking for clues. You know, something that might explain why Michael Myers went bad.
Oh.
Hey, Scott, what's up?
Yeah, nice costume.
The young woman climbs down first into a cellar-like area, followed by Jim. He joins her at the foot of the ladder and holds up his lamp to inspect the chamber, while she shines her torch around, doing the same. Jim approaches the wall and examines some strange markings, then looks down to see the remains of a child's toy with the head missing.
Whoa.
Hey, you think they kept him down here?
Maybe. Look at this.
What?
What is it?
Some sort of weird harness. This whole place looks like sort of sadistic playpen. And you know what that makes me think?
What?
There's definitely no cameras down here.
She reaches around the back of his head and removes the camera strap, letting it drop to the ground. Then she does the same with her own. They both kiss. And from the floor, the camera picks up their bodies as they embrace. Meanwhile, the group in the study are watching the footage with great amusement.
I can be a camera.
Say something smart.
Existence precedes essence.
She lifts off her top and they continue kissing.
You are sexy.
She's now slipped off her bra. She's topless as they lower down to the floor, Jim on top of her. Suddenly, the wall of the chamber collapses on top of them, along with earth, rubble, and decomposed bodies. Jim struggles to push one of the mummified bodies off them. Meanwhile, in the monitor room...
That worked perfect!
Whoa! That is what I'm talking about!
Oh my god! Oh, oh my god! All his victims! It's a mass grave!
Jim shines his torchlight on the rubble, inspecting it.
Oh, God!
All of it.
He picks out a severed arm.
Shit. Look at this.
I don't fucking believe this.
What?
Made in fucking Taiwan.
Michael enters the kitchen through the back door. He closes the door behind him and stands for a moment, clutching the knife. Calm, composed, and moving slowly and steadily, holding the knife up with its blood-stained point, he moves through the doorway and into the living room. The candelabra remains lit on the dining table, casting a pale glow as Michael moves through the room. He paces slowly, holding the knife up in front of him. As he does so, he's unaware that a second, identical figure has stepped out behind him. The camera reveals there are now two Michaels, one walking behind the other, both wearing identical clothes and both holding a knife. The first Michael swings round.
Man, Charlie, where the fuck you been at, man? Don't you know we've been looking all over this motherfucker for you? And why the hell you dressed like me anyway? I ain't paying you to be Michael Myers. I'm playing Michael Myers. If them kids come around and see us dressed up in the same shit, you're gonna ruin the whole effect. Ah, damn it. What the hell is wrong with you? I said, what you looking at me like that for? Huh? You don't get it? You don't get it? Your shit ain't working up there or something? You need to take your ass in the back of the garage with Nora. That's your job. Go back there with Nora and help her ass out. Go do your job. I left the back door unlocked for your ass to go out the back into the garage. That's what I did. You need to get the hell out of here. Go ahead, scoop, skedaddle. Get the fuck out of Dodge.
The real Michael obediently about turns and walks away.
God damn. What the hell somebody gotta do to get a little decent help up in this motherfucker?
God damn it, come on. Let's go find Freddy. This is bullshit.
Jim climbs back up the metal ladder. The young woman finds her top and puts it back on. As she retrieves her camera equipment, she hears a noise coming from the collapsed wall.
Jim? You gotta see this.
Noticing something inside the void, she approaches the rubble covering it and begins to push it out of the way. Once removed, it reveals a huge brick-lined underground tunnel, like an ancient sewer. She flashes her torch around at it, then climbs over the remains of the rubble and into the tunnel. As she looks at her surroundings, her camera shows the footage. Now, as she's walking along the tunnel, she's startled by a rat.
Hey, Freddy. Is this all part of the setup?
She discovers what seems to be a makeshift bed with a rag doll lying on it with a nail protruding from each eye. She bends down to examine it, then discovers a newspaper cutting.
Lori Strode, sister of Michael Myers, survives Halloween night massacre.
On a makeshift table, she finds the remains of a dead rat along with food scraps and bones.
Nice prop.
She reaches out to touch the dead rodent and it quivers.
Oh my god! Oh, oh, oh my god! Is anybody else seeing this? Jim?
Her torchlight picks out Michael standing in front of her. In the study, there's laughter as they believe it's a hoax, but now she flees down the tunnel as he paces towards her. Her way is blocked by a ramshackle metal gate and she shakes it with desperation. She tries to climb over or through it, but Michael's now closing in on her. He draws his knife.
Stay away from me!
Then as he forces her back against the gate, she's impaled on a sharp metal spike protruding from it. He pushes her against it, driving the spike deep into her back and out through her stomach, impaling her. Leaving her hanging there, her lips apart and her face pale and lifeless, Michael calmly turns around and walks away. Her head's thrown back, and her camera displays footage of light coming through a shaft in the ceiling. In the study...
That was so fake!
No, no, wait, wait, you guys, that really just happened. She was just killed.
Hey, you're gullible.
Meanwhile, in the bathroom, Rudy and Jen are sharing a bong.
It's a good thing there's no cameras in here.
We're wearing cameras.
In the living room, Sarah's sitting alone. She's flicking through a magazine by torchlight. As she sits turning the pages, Michael steps out of the shadows behind her. He stands watching her, holding the blood-stained knife at his side. She looks round over her shoulder, then dashes off upstairs, screaming.
There's nobody here. You're just bugging out again.
It's not funny, okay?
Stop it, okay?
He's down in that
There's
room right
one,
there.
One, two, three, four, five, six people in the house. There's no Michael Myers here. There's nobody.
Listen, I saw him right over there.
He's in here? Ooh, Michael Myers. Where's Michael Myers? Michael Myers! I don't see nothing.
He was in here.
You're bringing me down, okay?
Hey, I saw him.
Michael grabs her from behind, then Jim whacks him over the head with the severed arm.
Will, turn off the camera! Turn off the camera!
Hey, come on, get it back online!
What's wrong, guys?
Cut to a different camera angle.
Just getting
close. Listen to me. Hey, it's me, Freddy.
Freddy?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Damn, man. You hit me like I murdered your fucking mother or something. Relax, man. I'm only trying to give America a good show.
Okay, so none of this shit. It's real, right? Like the furniture, the photos, all the fucked up toys. It's all fake. We've been set up. You knew you didn't have a show anyone would watch, so you set us all up at our fucking expense, huh?
What expense are you talking about? You ain't contributed dime to setting up none of this shit. Besides, don't nobody want to see any of y'all running around no empty house, possibly coming up with nothing any damn way. America don't like reality, first of all. Second of all, they think this shit is boring. You know what I mean? They want a little razzle-dazzle, a little pizzazz, a little thrill in their life. You know what I mean? And us being the ones that give it to them, I don't see nothing wrong with that.
I so did not sign up for this.
Y'all need to do me a favor, all right? Just go along with the shit. Don't blow it. Not now. You really have no idea of how nicely I work things out so that we all can receive somewhat of a robust back end when this shit is all over. Now, I don't know what you want to do about your share, but please don't fuck it up for me. I want my money, all right? Now, if you don't mind, I like to go scare the shit out of some more of these motherfuckers. So, I'm gonna get it cracking. Y'all do what the fuck y'all gotta do. See y'all.
Turn up the sound.
Where'd everybody go?
Jen steps out of the bathroom, coughing a little from the clouds of smoke. She closes the door behind her and walks out onto the landing. Still somewhat stoned, she hears a creak from above and sees a pull cord to the attic door.
There you are, Bill.
All right, so what do you guys want to do?
I don't know. I mean, I could use the money.
Nah, fuck that. I'm out.
Me too, I quit.
She pulls on the cord, releases the trap door, and Bill's dead body drops down with it head first.
She must be going for the first internet Emmy.
You can't scare us, Jen. You're gonna have to do better than that.
Michael appears at the top of the stairs alongside Jen.
You too, Freddy.
Michael draws back the knife and in a savage blow slices off Jen's head. The others watch as it tumbles down the stairs to land at their feet.
Digital effects.
No, it isn't.
Yeah.
Hello, 911.
Oh my God.
Michael's now pacing down the stairs towards them.
It's locked.
Finding the front door locked, they try to kick out the glass in the living room window and the wooden boards nailed over it. As Michael enters the room, he's hit with a video camera by Jim holding the tripod like a baseball bat. Michael draws the knife but plunges it into the wall before grabbing either side of Jim's head and pressing his skull hard.
Oh.
He lifts Jim off the ground, pressing on his skull with increasing strength until his eyes are bleeding. When Jim's finally dead, he releases him and lets his body drop to the floor. As he slowly turns to face the others, Sarah runs past him out of the room. He draws the knife and follows her. As she climbs the stairs, the wood gives way beneath her feet. Michael approaches, swinging the knife wildly.
Hey, Michael! Yeah, I'm talking to you. You want a piece of me?
Rudy backs into the kitchen as Michael follows him. Sarah clambers to her feet and hurries upstairs into one of the bedrooms. She slams the door shut and pushes a bookcase in front of it.
You should try a little less protein in your diet, you know? Control some of that aggression, huh?
Rudy grabs a rolling pin and lashes out at Michael's head. Then he tips some powder from a spice jar into his hand and flings it in Michael's eyes. He grabs a knife in each hand, slashing the air at Michael.
What's some of this, huh?
This is an emergency. It's not a hoax.
Come on. Try to fucking kill me? Come on, come on. You like sushi, motherfucker? Huh? Don't fucking kill me? Oh, shit.
He goes for the back door, but it's locked. Michael grabs both his wrists. He holds Rudy's hands at his sides and lifts him off the ground. Then he drives a knife into him. Leaving Rudy impaled on the door, Michael goes to the kitchen drawer and takes out a huge carving knife, then drives that into him as well. Rudy's left hanging on the door by the two blades thrust into his body. Michael calmly makes his way out of the kitchen. Blood drips from one of the blades.
Somebody out there, please help us. Somebody please help us.
She really is a very talented actress.
After appealing to one of the cameras on the wall, Sarah takes out her mobile. She presses some buttons on it, then returns to the camera holding it up.
Decker!
Miles is dead.
Words appear on her mobile reading Deckard here.
Go to the other camera.
Tell her he's coming up the stairs.
This isn't funny anymore, guys. It'll work or something.
Sarah gets a message on her mobile reading, he's coming up the stairs. Michael passes by Bill's body hanging upside down from the loft hatch. Sarah gets another message, hallway, don't scream. In the study, the group watches Michael's progress through the house. Miles sends another message. Try the window. Michael's now outside the bedroom door. Sarah hurries to the sash window and manages to force it open just enough for her to climb through. Michael's now hammering the door open. Having pushed the window shut, Sarah's now standing on the edge of the roof looking down at the precarious drop. Michael's now slammed the door open and enters the room. Sarah backs against the roof to avoid being seen from the window. Michael draws the knife. He walks to the window, shoves his head through the glass, and Sarah kicks it. Michael slashes at her with the knife, and Sarah climbs up the sloping roof to the top. In the study, the footage is cutting out.
Look, I can't see you!
Miles sends Sarah a message reading, "Can't see you." Having climbed in through the attic window, Sarah takes off her head camera and points it at her face using a torch for lighting.
Deckard, where is he?
A message comes back, "Hallway." Sarah shines her torch around and the beam picks out Charlie's lifeless body. She puts a hand to her mouth to stop herself from screaming. Another message from Miles. He's in his old bedroom.
Tell her go!
Now's her chance! Come on, go!
He sends the message, "Go now." Moving slowly, step by step, Sarah's now climbing down the loft ladder past Bill's body, hanging from it. As she makes her way down, her camera picks out Bill's lifeless face. Fighting to hold it together, she continues on down, trying desperately not to make a sound. With her back to the wall, she inches along the landing. As she makes her way along, someone suddenly grabs her from behind. It's Freddy.
God, everybody's dead. Where is
it? I don't know.
We got the fuck out of here. Now. Come on, let's go.
Freddy and Sarah move cautiously towards the top of the stairs. Suddenly, Michael appears out of the darkness, blocking their way. Freddy runs at Michael, but it has no effect, and Michael grabs him by the shoulders and hurls him to the floor with unnatural strength. As Freddy starts to pick himself up off the floor, Michael moves towards him. Freddy now stands facing him with a malevolent look.
So you want to be on Dangertainment? Let's see what you got.
He lands a flying kick at Michael's face. Michael recovers and moves back towards him, and as Freddy tries a second time, Michael grabs his foot. Sarah tries to wind some electrical cable around Michael, then leaps on his back. Michael manages to throw her off, then Freddy distracts him.
Yo, Mike, come see me! Michael, come and see me! Look at me!
Why?
Wanna fuck with me? Huh? Motherfucker!
one flying kick, he sends Michael slamming through the window in a shower of glass. The cable snags around his neck, and he's left hanging from the window, dangling in midair from the noose. Michael's legs twitch, then stop. Michael's head sags. Sarah gets slowly to her feet.
Let's get out of here.
You all right? I saw his room. He's been living underneath this fucking house for who knows how long. Probably the last 20 years. Come on. I swear on my soul, I had no idea. I swear.
Sarah gets a message on her mobile. He's still alive. Reply comes back, in the house. Michael's standing beside them and plunges his knife into Freddy's shoulder. After stabbing him twice, Michael leaves Freddy lying on the floor and goes after Sarah, who flees through the dining room and into the kitchen where she tries the back door but it's locked. She wheels round and screams at the sight of Rudy's body. Then as she tries to exit the room, Michael's coming towards her. Sarah's now heading downstairs into the basement. Behind her, Michael's following, his pace slow and measured. She tumbles down the metal ladder into the underground chamber. Michael casts his eyes around the cellar, looking for her. She picks her way through the rubble into the brick-lined tunnel. She makes her way along it, her torchlight picking out the sticks of furniture in the makeshift living space. Then she discovers the young woman's body impaled on the metal spike, her mouth open and lifeless. She turns away and starts to hurry back down the tunnel, but Michael's waiting for her. He starts towards her, holding the bloodied knife at his side. Sarah finds metal rungs in the wall which lead up to a manhole cover. As she climbs up and heaves it open, Michael grabs her ankle. Michael slashed at her leg, but she kicks him away and climbs out. She finds herself in the monitor room, an old garage. Sarah spots an old lawnmower and tries to drag it away, but it falls in its side, dripping petrol. She backs away, stepping into a mass of bloody slime on the floor, which she slips on and lands on her back. She sits up, looking at the blood on her hands, then raises her eyes to the ceiling, where the body of the woman who was working in the monitor room is hanging lifelessly above her. Sarah slowly gets to her feet, running her eyes over the bank of screens. Then she's distracted by Michael moving past the garage window. She tries to flee from a side door, but it's locked, so she hides in a dark corner as Michael opens the double doors and steps inside. He casts his eyes around the garage as he walks in. His eyes search the room for Sarah. She watches him from her hiding place. One of the monitor screens alerts him to where she is just as she leaps out with a chainsaw.
This is for Jack! This is for Rick! For all of them!
She's swinging the chainsaw at him, cutting some of the electrical cables as she does so, and the chainsaw comes to a stop.
Oh, shit.
Fire's now broken out in the garage. In desperation, Sarah hurls the chainsaw at him. Fire licks through the garage, finding the petrol from the lawnmower, which explodes. They're both thrown to the floor as the fire takes hold, coursing through the garage, engulfing everything. Michael's lying motionless on the floor in his bag. Sarah raises her head and looks around. She tries to get up, but finds equipment and wires trapped around her legs. As she struggles to move, nearby on the floor, Michael sits upright. He picks up the carving knife lying beside him and gets to his feet. He paces towards a terrified Sarah, who's unable to move. She tries to crawl away from him, but Michael's now standing over her, raising the knife above his head to deal the death blow. Suddenly, the side door bursts open to reveal Freddy.
Trick or treat, motherfucker!
He swings at Michael with a long shovel, the handle snapping in two as it hits him. Freddy spins the remains of the handle in his fingers, then lashes out at Michael's face. Michael grabs the handle.
No! No!
With superhuman strength, he sends Freddy flying back against the wall. He moves towards him, raising the knife to finish him off. As he does so, Freddy opens his eyes, pulls out a live cable, and jabs it at Michael, sending him stumbling backwards with the electric shock. He's now tangled in more wires, struggling to break free. Standing in the bloody slime, Freddy hurls the live cable into the slime.
Burn, motherfucker! Burn!
He frees Sarah and carries her over his shoulder.
Hey, Mikey! Happy fucking Halloween!
Michael's left snagged on the wires, engulfed in flames. Later, emergency services pulling up at the house. Firemen dousing the smoking wreckage. Freddy's sitting on a gurney, his arm in a sling, having just been tended to by a paramedic. With a blanket around her, Sarah wanders through the melee of activity. Her mobile bleeps and she looks at the screen. A message reads, "You're alive." She looks around, wondering how Miles knows this. Then a follow-up message reads, "We can see you on the news."
Can we get a statement? Okay, we can go live now.
Michael Myers, over here. You got it.
Thank you, Deckard. You saved my life.
In the study, Miles is congratulated by the others.
What's it feel like to be a hero, Sarah?
Excuse me, how does it feel now that it's all over?
What makes you so sure it's over?
Excuse me.
No
more cameras. Entertainment is off the air. Why just show some respect?
Mr. Harris, would you like to make a statement?
What can you tell us about Michael Myers?
Michael Myers is not a soundbite, spinoff, tie-in, some kind of celebrity scandal. Michael Myers is a killer shark, baggy-ass overalls. He gets his kicks off of killing everything and everyone that he comes across. That's all. Done dancing for these cameras. Let's get out of here, Sarah.
But how are you feeling right now?
How am I feeling now? You want to know how I'm feeling right now? Feel this.
He shoves his hand over the camera. Michael's corpse is wheeled along a gurney by paramedics. Sarah approaches them.
That's him, isn't it? I want to see his face.
I want to warn you, man. It's not a pretty sight.
Freddy joins her as the man unzips the body bag. A cameraman tries to film.
Come on, back it up. Let's go.
Wow. Looking a little crispy over there, Mikey. Like some chicken fried, motherfucker. Well, may he never, ever rest in peace.
Now the body's being wheeled into an autopsy room. To the coroner.
Hey, how's it going?
You've got to be kidding me. Another one?
It's your lucky night. You got a celebrity.
Ooh, let me get my autograph book.
I'm not kidding. It's Michael Myers.
What?
Get me a copy of that autograph.
Yeah, sure.
She cracks me up.
The coroner looks a little apprehensive. She steps away from the other body she's working on and approaches Michael on the gurney. She takes hold of the body bag zip and slowly begins pulling it open. She peels down the zip, revealing the mask, charred and burnt, still on Michael's face. She pulls the zip all the way down and parts the two sides of the bag. As she reaches down to remove the mask, Michael's eyes suddenly spring open.